This is Doug Miller. Milk of the word, meat of the word. Do you know the difference? Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Paul, that was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are back one more time this side of heaven, this side of our being in the presence of the Lord, to tell forth this word into this mic with the sure and certain knowledge that it is the word that brings life and light, and that God, the Holy Spirit, is the one who uses the word to create faith in the heart and to bring salvation. So it's very important business, critically important business. And some of you who are listening to me, your lives could be changed by listening to the word of God. So come along, bring your Bibles. We are in the fifth chapter of Hebrews, just getting ready to end up the fifth chapter. Call a friend, tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists strictly and solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out. If you're waiting for an encore, that's all we do. And by the grace of God, we will continue to do it until he puts an end to it. And he can do that, of course, anytime he wishes, and we will go on and do other things, or maybe we'll go home and be with him. We are, of course, utterly and absolutely dependent on our listeners. We do not have a mission board behind us or a denomination behind us or a particular church behind us. We are dependent on the Lord and the Lord alone, and we covet your prayers. I just beg you to pray for Dialogue and tell people about us and encourage us in any way you can. Write to us. Love to hear from you. Our mailing address, Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Now, if you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy, and Paul Sublett will give it to you again later on. All right, let's get into it here. The milk of the word, the meat of the word. We spent all of last time talking about Melchizedek, the great high priest Melchizedek. And now we're going to talk about how this fits in and what this has to do with this business of the meat of the word. Now, I'm going to read, by your grace and by your leave, some passages that I've made reference to already. So if you've got your Bible, we're in the fifth chapter of Hebrews, but open up to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. And this is what we read. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Now here we have Peter talking about the milk of the word. Very important subject. And he says, as newborn babes, that we ought to desire that. And, of course, the milk would suggest to one first things, first principles. When you're first born, you need milk. And babies, you know, suck on bottles and take in milk, or they, you know, nurse from their mothers and take in milk. And they need that, and that's critical. But let's see what Paul has to say about this business of milk. Go back to 1 Corinthians 3. And verse 1. And this is what we have Paul saying. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. And so on and so forth. Now, here we have not just milk. Peter just talked to us about milk. Paul now brings in something else. He talks about meat. And he associates milk with babes, as does Peter. But he associates meat with spiritual. Okay? If you are, there's a difference here in being carnal and in being spiritual. There's a difference in flesh and spirit. And Paul draws the difference here. And Paul is the one doing the feeding. And whereas Peter urges his newborn children in the faith and in the Lord to desire the sincere milk of the word, Paul decries the fact that they ought to be feeding, that these people in Corinth ought to be feeding on something other than milk. They ought to have gone on to meat by this time, but he said it would be a useless thing for me even to think of trying to feed you meat. You are carnal. You're not spiritual. You couldn't bear it. You couldn't take in the meat of the word even. Any more than a babe would know what to do with a beef steak if I put it down in front of him. And it is a shame. It's sad. Now, here we have Paul, and he gives us something that Peter doesn't give us, doesn't he? He talks about the meat and the milk, and he leaves us to understand that at some point we've got to leave milk behind and go on to meat. But what is this meat? What is the meat of the word? Now, brethren, sistren, if I were to get, you know, a half dozen preachers in here, I'm sure I'd get a half dozen different notions and ideas about what is what here. But in fact, our man in Hebrews, let's go to the fifth chapter of Hebrews now, he's going to tell us. He leaves no doubt at all about what it is, but you have to read carefully to get to it. And it is not what many of you may think. Now, I've heard people talk about the meat of the word, and boy, I had a preacher one time, and I've mentioned this on here before, talk about how he was giving out the meat of the word, and it was so, his messages are so meaty that the people really couldn't get anything out of them because they were just too rich and too meaty, and this was nonsense. The truth of the matter was that he was giving out things that weren't profitable. And the people knew better. But, you know, he thought he was giving out meat. And a lot of you may think that you're sitting under meat. Well, you judge that by the word of God, okay? You need to judge it by the word of God and not what someone says. Just because someone says that he's preaching the meat, it doesn't mean that he is. And just because you think you're sitting under sermons in which meat is being served up, it doesn't mean that you are. The meat of the word has to do, now listen to me carefully, and I'll prove it from the word here in a minute. The meat of the word has to do with our Lord Jesus Christ's high priestly ministry after the order of Melchizedek. Now, if you say, well, surely there's more to it than that. No, I don't know that there is. I don't see anything in here that tells me there's more to it than that. If you say, well, I mean, I don't, how important could that be? Friend, if you are living on milk, it's probably not important to you at all. If you have been used to feeding on milk, and the writer will define that here in a little bit, then it's probably not important to you at all. But if you are used to feeding on milk, then let me remind you what Paul just said to the Corinthians, and you might just as well apply it to yourself. You're carnal. You are spiritually immature. You are not spiritual and not able to bear meat, and, you know, meat wouldn't interest a babe. He wants that bottle. And that's exactly where you are. Now, if I got on toes there, good deal. I needed to. Now, let's pick this up. We have in verse 10 of chapter 5, once again, what our writer said to us back in chapter 6. Our Lord Jesus Christ is an high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now look at verse 11. Of whom we have many things to say, and the King James says hard to be uttered, and the actual Greek is difficult to be explained. difficult to be explained. And if I'm not explaining it well, well, shame on me. And if I'm explaining it well and you're not taking it in, well, shame on you. It is not easy. And we have many things to say about our Lord Jesus as the high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, why are these things difficult to be explained? In verse 11, our writer tells us, "Seeing ye are dull of hearing." Well, the writer does not take the responsibility on himself here, does he? He doesn't say, "I'm just not a good teacher." Oh, that would be absolutely wrong. Because the real teacher here is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit does not teach wrong. And if the Spirit is the one putting it out there and you and I are not taking it in, where's the problem? It's not that God doesn't know how to communicate. The problem is on the receiving end. It is with us. We want to tell you these things, and you are dull of hearing. Now look at verse 12. What a tremendous and gut-wrenching and heartbreaking indictment against us. "When for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." Stop it there. Please get this. Please. All teaching to be profitable has to be line upon line, precept upon precept, word added to word. And sometimes we have to stop and look at the sentences and take the words apart and look carefully at them. Now look at what we've got here. We've got a bunch of people who ought to be teachers, but they need to be retaught. And they are so immature that the teaching they need has to do with the first principles. That's what Peter was talking to us about in 1 Peter 2:1, wasn't he? "You know, your newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." The first principles are the same as the milk. The things that you learned when you were first saved about how Jesus died for our sins and was buried and rose again the third day, and we have salvation through his name. And now that we have been saved and trusted in him, we need to be baptized, and we need to be, you know, reading the Bible and praying and so on and so forth. There's nothing wrong with any of that, but it is foundational. It is foundational, and it is milk. And the writer says, we need to even go back and do that with you again. You didn't even get that. But look at this. And he uses in verse 12 here, it's not milk, but strong meat. He talks about strong meat, okay? Or literally solid food, okay? You need milk. You don't need solid food. These guys are in exactly the same situation that the Corinthians were in. Paul said, you know, I can't give you any meat here. All best I can do is go back and give you milk again. And I want you to go back and I want you to read 1 Corinthians. Next time you read it, ask yourself this. In 1 Corinthians or in 2 Corinthians, does Paul ever anywhere mention anything about the Lord Jesus Christ as our high priest in glory? Not that I know of. Not that I know of. He has some wonderful things to say, but he certainly doesn't lay it out there the way the writer of Hebrews does. Why? They're unable to bear it. Now, he goes on, and let's look at this in verse 13 of chapter 5. "Everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But strong meat, solid food, belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Now, real interesting here. He says, and let me just kind of recap here. Our writer says at the end of chapter 5 here, he gets into We want to tell you things that have to do with the Lord Jesus Christ and his high priestly ministry in glory, even now at the right hand of God, and what that ministry is to us and for us, and our position in him, and how important that is to our entering into rest. Chapter 4 of Hebrews, remember that? But we can't tell you this. You're not able to bear it. You're not able to bear it. You need milk. However, and this is a good thing here. I'm sure glad he does this. Even though these people weren't able to bear it, he's going to put it on them anyway. And I'm glad that he does, because it is because he is putting this on them that we know what it is he's been talking about, what it is he's talking about. Now let's go on into chapter 6, for example. Therefore, leaving the principles, the word of the beginning is literally the Greek here, of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permit. Now, please, friends, look at what we've got here. He defines here the milk. This is the milk that he's talking about. This is the foundational stuff, the things that you learned about when you were first saved, repentance from dead works, faith toward God, baptisms, laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and so on and so forth. All of that's foundational. It's important. We need it. But he wants to go on to other things, and he says he's going to do it, even though at the end of chapter 5 he says they're not ready for it, that they are dull of hearing. He's going to do it anyway. And once again, praise the Lord. I am so happy, so grateful that he is going to do it, because we need to hear this. All right, now to recap, because I just feel once again that this is pretty heavy stuff, and I don't want to lose anyone or leave anyone behind. He began, and we saw our writer back in chapter 5 talking about the high priestly ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ after the order of Melchizedek, a ministry that he is carrying on even now, right now. All right? Now he goes on, and he talks about this, and he connects all of this. He says, you know, he connects it to the meat of the word. He connects it to the meat of the word by saying, we have many things to say, but you're dull of hearing, and you need to go back to foundational principles. But he goes on here, and we've seen in chapter 6. He says, nevertheless, we're going to do this. We're going to do this, and he defines now the milk of the word, the thing that they needed to go back and feed on again. So here in these few verses, we have the meat defined and we have the milk defined. Now, I hope you got this. Now, you can. I heard a story once about a church, and they used to have these testimonials where they on Sunday evening or Wednesday evening or whenever, where people would get up and give their testimonies and about how the Lord had saved them and how he was dealing with them. And this one old man used to get up every Sunday evening, or whenever it was. And his testimony was always the same. Be something like this. 50 years ago, the Lord filled my vessel, and it's never run dry. Every Sunday. One day, a little girl turned to her father and said, Dad, I think maybe his water's got wiggle tails in it by now. I mean, you know, come on. Yes, the Lord filled my vessel 50 years ago. Yes, it's never run dry. But is that all you have to say? Has the Lord done anything with you since then? Is there anything happening to you? Are you growing? Are you going on? Are you going on to maturity? Because if you're back there somewhere, you know, still talking about baptisms and so on and so forth, and I got baptized and the Lord saved me and changed my life, look, The Lord wants to bring you up to adulthood in Jesus Christ. He wants you to be an adult, walking in the power and the energy of the Holy Spirit, going forward with Him. Now, we're about out of time. I want to close out with this little story about a man named Hudson Taylor. Many of you have heard of Hudson Taylor. English missionary back in the 19th century, founded the China Inland Mission. Went out as a young man into China and was out in inland China for many, many years. And the Lord blessed his ministry greatly. And there were many people who were saved and churches established through the work Hudson Taylor did. Hudson Taylor himself reached a point of being very just overburdened, just overwhelmed. And he was worked to death. And he couldn't seem to get anything done. He could not seem to be, he had no joy in his life, no joy in his walk. And he was just beat. And he was praying that the Lord would help him, would give him release from this. And eventually the Lord did. And he did it in such a way as, you know, that Hudson Taylor couldn't have imagined it. And many years later, or after the Lord had really given him victory, one of his friends came out from England to see him and came to where he was in inland China. And one of the first things Hudson Taylor said to him was, "If you could only know how the Lord has changed my life." And Hudson Taylor's favorite hymn became, and some of you sing this in church, I know we do where I'm, the meeting I'm in, "Jesus, I am resting in the joy of what thou art. I am finding out the greatness of thy loving heart. Thou hast bid me gaze upon thee, and thy beauty fills my soul. For by thy transforming power, thou hast made me whole." What Hudson Taylor learned was that the Lord Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of God in glory. And we are in him there. We are, even now, in glory with the Lord Jesus Christ and resting in Him. This is our rest, and it is not something we enter into when we die and go to heaven. It is something that we enter into right now. And if we don't enter into it right now, then even as saved people, our lives will be hectic and driven, and we will not have peace and rest. Now, what keeps us from entering in? Lack of faith. And of course, a lack of faith, ignorance. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you don't know what God has said, you can't really believe what God has said, because, you know, the two, they go together. You have to know it before you can believe it. And His Word is clear on this. We are seated in Christ Jesus in heavenly places. We are resting in Him. As God the Father loves God the Son, so He loves those of us who are in His Son in the heavenly places. We have one who is near to God, and we in Him are as near as He is. And you're beginning to get a little taste of the meat. We're going to have to cut it off there. We'll take it up next time. This is Doug Miller. This is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.